please help me welcome Chris from There Is a Solution group. And I'm going to say.
How you doing, everybody? My name is Chris, and I'm definitely an alcoholic. So we got an hour to kill, and I'm going to take it from the top. Strength, experience, and hope. Hello, everybody on Zoom land, and we got a nice turnout here. So I've been an alcoholic in all the behaviors, ways, shapes, and forms since the minute I ever had the opportunity. I literally remember as like a 10-year-old that very first time and that very first feeling of a euphoria. And I said, I didn't pretend to say, I didn't think about saying, I said, wow, that was great. Felt like I was in a dream. I want to be that way all the time. And I, from that point forward, I don't know exactly how old I was. I was going to say maybe 9, 10, 11, something like that. From that point forward, little did I know it, that would become my main objection. I don't even know. I can barely speak or read, folks. Bear with me. I'm going to try and talk my way through this. And that's how it started. Like, I remember, I had a horrific childhood. I did not grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up in poverty. My father was legitimately the town drunk. My mom was a real mental patient. Not just calling her that. She wasn't crazy. Like, in the state hospital was where I would go see my mom. Occasionally, if and when I did see her. A lot of shame and remorse with all that and feelings. And as a young kid, I just didn't know how to deal with it. Nor did I even know it was wrong or care. Like, you know, but I know once I found alcohol, booze, and that lifestyle, it's all I ever wanted. Like, I wanted that escape. I didn't know why. I didn't know how. I thought it was kind of normal. I thought, like, I grew up in a bar. Like, after school, I would have to figure out which bar my dad was in to go, you know, see where he was at, get him, get a ride home, get the keys to the house, whatever. School was horrible. Early life was horrible. I grew up in the streets of Trenton. And when I say in the streets of Trenton, literally in the streets, my home life was very, very unorthodox, shall we say. And I just didn't know any better. And I did the best I could with what I had. And it worked out terribly. School was a nightmare. I'm an eighth grade dropout. I must have went to, got my GED, got all that. I mean, I would always catch up quick. I would come and go as I would, pleased. Nobody could really tell me anything. Believe it or not, I still have trouble with that to this very day. And, I can always catch up quick though. I can always patch it up and, get it close enough or good enough. But, and this is just my humble opinion, when you start drinking and doing other things at a young age, it kind of does something to you. There's some social skills that are never really, brought in. I do believe I have always been emotionally crippled. I don't think that really helps with it either. I might be wrong. I might not. This is just some stuff that I've learned, you know, moving forward and moving through this. So school was just horrible, horrible experience for me. Daily life was just a horrible experience for me. And the only release that I would have at that time was alcohol. And I mean, like, by the time I was 15 years old, 16 years old, I was all the way out there, folks. I mean, it wasn't cute. It didn't come on slow. It was like, hello, boom, 100 miles an hour. And anybody who does know me, I either have two speeds, absolute zero or 100 miles an hour. And I don't really have a 55 or a mid-range, and it's just how I am. Sometimes it benefits me, sometimes it doesn't. So moving right along, you know, that was just how it was. You know, I knew that I would never be like the other guys. I knew I wasn't going to college. I knew I wasn't doing all these somewhat normal things that I would see other people doing or other kids doing at the time. So I just assigned myself to the life of this debauchery and however the hell it was going to work out. I figured, like everything else, I'll figure it out as I go along. And, you know, things worked out pretty good, or at least I thought they did. And I think at that point in my life, that's where I started learning how to find somebody in worse shape than I was and compare myself to them. I'm not really one to compare myself to gold medalists, if we will, or people who are very successful. I will find a bunch of crumbs and hang with them so I don't feel that bad, and I kind of measure up, if you know what I'm saying. So my life went on. Believe it or not, as a teenager, I was in trouble with the law. Kind of common where I was from. It just happened. And that's just how things went. I mean, you know, as a juvenile, I started real early with criminal activity and didn't think anything of it. It was just the way it was. And, you know, in and out of juvenile court my entire teenage years. All kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, just, you know, I'm just trying to kill a little time, but like, if you're a real alcoholic and you're sitting in this room, you know what that pain and suffering is. And then if you don't take away the criminal activity and just the activity and the thinking, I always thought that I was a little sharper than the other guy, and I wasn't. I always thought that I would kind of get out of it one way or another, and I wouldn't. I always thought that I was different. Rules weren't for me. This wasn't for me. That wasn't for me. I want to do this. I want to do that. It was always me and how and when and why I thought. And I say this with 20/20 hindsight because at the time you couldn't tell me nothing. I mean, can you imagine me at 16, 17, 18 years old? Like, I didn't even know what the word incorrigible meant. But I was it. So the whole time, this thing in me is just getting worse and worse. Even though deep down inside, I'm thinking one day I'm going to grow out of this and everything's going to be okay. Like, I figured, all right, this is just something that I'm going to go through and I'm going to come out on the other side of this and everything's going to be better. I'm going to be able to, because really, you know, like I said, I come from very, very meager, big, you know, surroundings and upbringing. I just wanted to kind of be normal. I wanted to, like, have a nice spot, have a car, have a girl, have a good job, and not really worry about anything. Another thing, like, about this time, I drop out of school, and I find that I can go to work and get money and party and drink and do all kinds of things whenever I wanted, if I really wanted to. And as soon as I got a little taste of that freedom combined with alcohol, it was a wrap, folks. It was an absolute game changer. So that's also what I took off doing. My goal was, like when I first started at that very young age, to be in this dream state 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, unfortunately, I would have to go to work, which I would try to do in that same dream state, whatever it was, however it was. And that wouldn't always work out real good either. So moving right along, that happens. And the progression of this thing is ridiculous. And as we all know, just with the drinking. But, you know, in my life, things would progress too. And usually for the worse. Things just wouldn't progress better for me. And I could never figure it out. I was like, how come everybody else is going to college? How come everybody else is getting good jobs? How come everybody else is doing? Meanwhile, all I'm doing is drinking. Just drinking my life away. And my criminal activity would get worse and worse and worse too. Because I didn't know it was my thinking. I felt entitled. I felt like, you know, nothing, no rules applied to me. And I could just do whatever I want. And the worst thing in the world was I would usually get away with it. Like, I wouldn't be bad enough that I would ever go to jail, because as soon as I would be off probation or something, and then I do something else. Well, that didn't last too long either. And before you know it, I'm getting older, and, you know, I mean, I was completely spun out of control. I mean, in every way, shape, and form you could possibly imagine. And, you know, one day I'm looking up, and I'm 20 years old, I'm 22 years old, and I'm looking at a 20-year prison sentence with a 10-year mandatory minimum for aggravated assault. And I just couldn't even figure it out. I was like, wow. You know, because I also have this unbelievable ability to minimize things, and, you know, like, they're not that bad. Like, I only punched a guy in the face once. It didn't matter that his eye orbit broke and his eye came out, and, you know, this and that, and that was a game changer right there, folks. You know, and that's when I first found AA. So I'm 23 years old, and I go to AA for nothing but to try and receive some mercy. Now, I go to my first AA meeting with my father, who I mentioned was a town drunk, at the age of 15, right? I go back to that very same place, trying to get some leniency from a judge and a court system, at the age of about 20, I think I was 23, right? And it caught on. And I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know how. And the moral that I want to get just to this little part of the story is that this thing never worked for me, or I never chose to do this until I was scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, it took a 20-year prison sentence to calm and slow this once-was-wild man completely down and even get my attention to get me to go to a meeting. Nonetheless, do any work. Because let me tell you, the Al-Anon Club at in Trenton, New Jersey on Cass Street in 95, wasn't talking about the big book and the steps and some spiritual solution. So it was like old gangsters there telling you to shut the F up. I got to hear what they're saying. It was weird. It was real weird. So anyway, I go, right? And I'm going like every day. I'm getting signatures. I'm doing all this. But I get a couple guys in my ear, and I'm like, wow. And I actually put some time together, and I'm not drinking. I'm not doing these other things. My head's starting to clear, and it catches on. And I get sentenced to a 16-year sentence, which was like a bargain. Like, it was like it was a good deal. And I go to prison at 23 years old. And I get out when I'm 30. And I never forget, I was in for a little while, and there's collect calls and crazy things like that. And I hooked up with this real solid sponsor at the time. And I'll never forget, he wanted to start doing some step work. And I mean, I am just completely sober physically, but man, I'm like, my life is over. I'll never forget, I was on the payphone, and we were reading the big book, and he was trying to get me to do a fourth step. And I literally said to him, I said, look, man, I see what you're trying to do here, and I see it, and I hear it, and I feel it. I said, but I can't live like that in here. Boom. And I hung up the phone, and I did what I did while I was there, and sick to say it, it wasn't that bad. In my younger days, I was a little more rough and a little more tumble and in much better shape, and I made the best of it for what it was. I really did. It changed my entire life. It really, 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 really did. I gotta stop saying And thank you for pointing that out. You know, you're in an AA meeting. We have this uncanny ability. I can point everything out wrong with you, and I can only get about this much off of myself. Little did I know, as I got more experience in this program, that's how this thing is supposed to work. You know, because I can only get so deep into myself. I can only see so much of myself, of the bad, that is. The good, I can see a lot of that, and I'm very, very, very open to tell you about that if you'd like to hear about it. But my bad stuff, I can't really get that deep into. Long story short, We go to prison. We do the best we can there. And I got accepted into this crazy program. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it. It's called a therapeutic community. And it was a therapeutic, thank you very much. I feel very at home here now, guys. So a therapeutic community, for those of you who don't know, and it was a 12-step kind of base thing. And see, the only reason I go there, ready for this one? The only reason I go there, because if you go there and you complete this program, you get parole. If you don't and you go there, you get what's called a parole hit, and you stay in prison longer. But it's hard as hell. Like, it's legendary. Like, there's no BS. Like, if you go to this one place, you're going to complete this program, and it's going to da-da-da-da, and you get to get out of prison. And I had this unbelievable sentence, and, like, I was definitely going to get a hit, and it was a violent crime, and the laws were changed, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck, I got to go here. Now, mind you, prison wasn't the nicest place. But, I mean, I would be boxing all day. I'd be playing racquetball, handball. I had a job at the officer's dining room. Like, for prison life, it was a pretty good setup. And I didn't really, you know, have that too many enemies or anything. And I was having a ball. Because once I find the law of the jungle and I know how to make moves. I'm what's called the best of the worst. You can put me in Alaska, Kensington, the White House, or a board meeting, and I'm going to figure out what to do and how to do pretty quick. It's the only way I was able to survive up to this point, because I'm not really the best at anything. I can't really do anything spectacularly, but I can figure shit out pretty quick, and I can learn what to do to get by. So where the hell was I?
The
therapeutic community. Now, I'm like, okay, this can't be that bad. I'll figure this out like everything else. Man, you couldn't blink wrong in this place. So I stay there for quite some time. And I mean, guys, let me just give you a very brief idea. Wrinkle in your shirt, you're scrubbing like a tile on the floor for 2 days with a toothbrush. One wrong word out of your mouth, they're sitting you in a corner for 2 or 3 days looking at a think sign. And one wrong this or that, you're carrying around a baby bottle for a week. Like, they would break you down to the very last compound. One wrong word, they throw you out and you're staying in prison longer. Like, they were not fooling around. And it was for real. Now, if you did what you had to do, you got out of jail. So once again, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to manipulate the system and how I'm going to get a better deal for me. Just like I did with AA in the beginning, and just like I've done with everything in my life. Because that's who I am. I'm Mr. Tryin. Be whatever I gotta be, Mr. Chameleon, to get the best deal for me. I'm selfish and self-centered, but I don't realize it. I kinda do, but I think I have to be, because I have no family, I have no nothing, blah, 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 blah. So, I finish this doggone thing. I get out, blah, 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 I get accepted to this program. To be a mentor at the kiddie prison to try and try and help them out. I get out. I live happily ever after for about a week. I start working I'm everything, guys. I'm a workaholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a gambler. I got problems with everything. Sex, food, everything. If there's something shopping, if there's something to have a problem with, I suffer from all this spiritual malady. So I get out, I start working, I go through my life, and it's sober. There's no step work. I'm all about going to meetings, and at the time I'm on super duper parole. I gotta get this paper signed. So what's a guy like me do? I get it signed till he can't. There's no room on the picture of the paper. They're signing it sideways, and I get this guy off my back, and it's just one bad relationship after another, and it's my relationship with everything. It's my relationship with my employer. It's my relationship with the girl in my life. It's my relationship with myself. It's my relationship with anybody or anything that doesn't fit into the way that I deem things to be necessary or that I see fit. And I don't know this at the time, but You know, I know what I know, and I know that at the time, if I'm sober, I'm going to meetings and I'm working, you know, I can't be that bad. And I'm telling you, I also know this, one wrong move and I'm going back to prison. So that's not going to happen either. And we're going to do everything we can not to do that. But you know, I'm going to meetings and I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do. And, I had sponsors and everything, and there was no talk about any step work or anything. Not that I ever remember. Maybe there was, but I don't think there was. So I put together about 14 years or so. And one day life on life's terms, you know, just gets to me. I could only hold out for so long. You know, I got a lot of the things that I wanted. I got the great job. I got the car. I got married. I had a nice little setup. I mean, I had some stuff. And really, like I mentioned before, that's all I've ever really wanted was to be normal and to fit in with everybody else. You know, because I could dress the outside up enough and I could talk just enough jazz because I know a lot about a lot of different things that I can fucking bullshit myself. I could fake myself out, you know, and fake a few people out and get through. But that came crashing down, you know, once upon a time. And I started to drink again after a little while. I didn't know it would be as bad as it was, and I didn't understand this thing, for those of you who may have heard it spoken in the rooms, about progression. Like, I was amazed at the period of time that I did not drink, and when I started, how bad it got, how quick. And it was a vicious, vicious thing to experience. And I went at it for quite some time, probably about a year or two, and I'll never forget the bottom of that. And it looked like giving everything back that I worked for. And for those of you, I don't even know if I need to say this or not, but you know, I start with one thing and my progression takes me very quickly to the whole ball of wax. And I wind up living with this poor hostage of a woman that I had taken in her father's basement, in such a dark, dark, dismal place. I'm trying to figure out, where am I going to blow my brains out so that this poor girl and her kids don't have to walk over the puddle where Chris killed himself? It wasn't a mansion, and it wasn't very large either. So I knew I'd been in AA before, and I knew it had worked. And I'm maybe 40, 50 miles away from the streets that I knew of. But I didn't know nothing. I was a complete foreigner. I never forget. I literally go back in the days, there was this crazy thing called MapQuest. And what was the other one? There was another one, too. And I go, AA near me. And I know where I'm at. And I know how to get from where I came from. And it gives me the wrong directions to the closest AA meeting. It sends me to Sesame Place, which I know is in the other direction and not where I want to go. And I'll never forget, I put the lid down to the computer, and I'm like, ah. And I go out, and like, it took me about a week or 10 days to get back to that point again. And I don't even know how to tell you how much pain and suffering. And does anybody know that soul pain? You know, I don't mean physical pain. Thank you again, sir, for raising your hand. He's definitely one of us, folks. But yeah, I'm feeling that again, and I find this meeting. So I go to the meeting with every intention of finding it, and it's in this weird industrial park, and it's like 6:30 in the morning. I think it started at 7 a.m., and it was like in like, for those of you who saw Star Wars, it was like in the middle of the Death Star. I literally walked around to every door in the industrial park. I couldn't find the damn thing again, two times in a row on my second week. And I'm like, this is a dirty trick. Guys, I'm trying to find it. I'm really, really trying, and I can't. I'm like, this is some kind of evil trick. Anyway, I go back. I can't find the damn thing. I go to another meeting, they go, oh, you gotta go like through this little alleyway, it's back behind the dumpsters, and it really was. So I find it, and I go there, and it takes me like 30 or 40 days to get myself together. And I'm sitting in these meetings, and at first I'm feeling good, you know, they're talking the talk, and this and that. And then, you know, it takes me a couple weeks, and I'm feeling better. And then I'm not. Like, I kind of go up like this, and then I start a little bit of a decline. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, you know, this is, something's not right here. And I'll never forget, I got so, like, now I can look back with 20/20 hindsight. By the way, it's the only way I learn. I don't learn very good. I like to call myself learning disabled. I'm not. I don't pay attention or give a damn enough, right? But after stuff happens, I can look back and see where I went wrong and or see what I missed. And I never forget, like, I get so irritable, restless, and discontent, sober, physically sober, that I raise my hand out of frustration and I go, can somebody please teach me how to live? And a guy scoops me up after the meeting. It's like, look, me and a couple dudes are going to study this book on this day, and we'd like to have you come by and blah, 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 we'll get together and this and that. Now, also what I did not mention is my entire life, I've always, this is kind of funny, pay attention, right? My entire life, I've always been some kind of like flim-flam artist or fast talker or hustler. Like I always got something going or moving or shaking to fund the adventure because I'm not really one to work, period. I don't like to work. I like to be the boss, and I like to come and go as I please, and all that stuff that doesn't really fit in. By the way, I probably had 4 or 5 dozen jobs in my life, and I don't even know how the hell that works, but somehow. Nowadays, I don't even care. God puts me wherever he wants me to go. I show up, and I do whatever he wants me to do. So I tell him, I go, dude, that sounds great. I'm fortunate. Now, my hustle at the time is I'm selling my possessions of my girlfriend and whatever I can get my hands on at the flea markets. Like, that's, I'm working the flea market circuit. That's what I've been reduced to. Or that's what I've been lifted up to. And I'm like, nah, guy is offering me the solution I've been looking for my entire life. And I'm like, nope, sorry, I can't do it. Columbus Flea Market is that day, and you know, that's a big day for me. And he looks at me like, no, wait, hold on. Now you don't understand. I'm like, no, you don't understand. If it's raining, I might be able to make it. And I thought you would enjoy that. Anyway, soon he works on me for a week or two, and I finally get involved in this thing, right? And I had heard about this book, and I'd heard about the steps. Now, for me, with just peeling back a little bit, I figured if I would just go to enough meetings, and someone might have whispered this to me, or I might have heard it in a meeting, because I can't recall everything, nor do I care to. But I remember I was told or something was said to me that one day I would hear somebody tell my story and there would be this magical thing that would happen and blah, blah, blah. Man, I've been to a billion meetings and it just never happened. I never got hit with that magic one-liner. I've never met anybody. Has anybody ever heard their story repeated perfectly up here? I don't think it's ever going to happen. Because let me tell you, if I hear a story like mine, I'm running. I am running. But our stories, I think, are close enough, and the pain and the suffering and the generic description doesn't matter. But I see some head shaking and some hand raising, like, you know what I'm saying and you know how I'm saying it. I'm not one for war stories. But, you know, I thought I was just going to come to these meetings, and I'd look at these occasionally, and I'd be like, when are these going to happen? Like, I hear people talking about it, but I would never see anybody really doing it. And then a guy comes up and he offers them to me, and I'm like, nah, I'm busy. Because money was my God. And I always needed that to survive. Because where I come from, you know, money, power, respect, and physical violence were the rules most of my life. And I knew that. And, you know, it wasn't like, hey, Chris, how much spirituality do you have? Let's go have a ball. Like, it just didn't work like that. So anyway, I finally get involved with this book and these steps, and I am amazed that the solution to all my problems and feelings and stuff has been hiding in a book the entire time. And I don't know about you guys, but I had tried to read this book occasionally here and there several times. And I come effing make sense of it. Like, I would read a couple pages of it, and I don't even know what the hell I read. Now, I would know that I'm not stupid, and I would know that I knew how to read, but I couldn't figure it out. So the guy literally takes me through the whole thing, and we start doing the work. And I mean, I gotta be honest, We got any other big avid readers here? Anybody read real books, got like, you know, volumes of books under their belt? Not me. I've never really read but a book or two in my life. 99% of them were when I was on vacation that I spoke of previously and didn't have anything better to do. So I finally read this book with this guy, and I start doing exactly what it says. Also, I'm like, I don't want to slide by that. I'm not big on following directions either. Don't raise your hand. Anybody in here good at following directions? Do we have any good direction followers? How's your credit score? How are we at answering mail? How are you at paying bills? I got the money now and I have trouble paying bills. Most of my bills, I can go on my phone and click them and I still don't. Like, there's something in here that's a little bit off. And little did I know, I had to constantly work on it in a certain way, shape, and form. And it didn't look like anything I ever thought it was going to look like. So I start following the directions. I start reading the book. I start doing what it says. And I don't care what other people think at this point. I don't care if I come into a meeting and sit down and start trying to bludgeon you with this big book and my opinion of it if you get up and leave. Because I read in there that you're supposed to do this, this, and this, and that's it. And lo and behold, I made a lot of mistakes. It started working. And when it started working, and I started feeling better about it, watch out. Because let me tell you, feel good and feel good, if it's artificial or spiritual or whatever, it still feels good, and I like that. And then, of course, remember, just going back, remember the zero speed and the 100 miles an hour? So me and one of my buddies are in the same basement where I was going to blow my brains out a couple months prior. And we're cross-referencing words in the big book with the dictionary and trying to study it and figure it out and this and that and the history of it. And we're doing it and we're living it. And I'm trying to figure out this God thing. And I get hit with this line, be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they have to offer. Ready for this one? And I start going to church, and I start doing these things, and I start following these instructions, and I start helping other people do it too, which blows my mind. Like, when I kind of came to a little aha moment of this is how this is supposed to be, after dudes were telling me for weeks and months and everything, and it started working, I was baffled. I was like, this can't be it, can it? And I mean, I'm going back to the book and I'm reading it and I'm calling people up and I'm doing it and I'm trying to get other people involved. And it's not as popular as you may think it is. Even though, you know, like the name of this thing is Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of people don't really partake in the book that the fellowship was made for after whatever. And, you know, even though I had just gone through 15 years of not doing it, I'm amazed that everybody else was doing it. And so anyway, that takes off. And I had looked at these steps on the wall. And I was like, there is no way a career criminal like myself is making a fearless, searching moral inventory of myself. Moral? I had done my best to not be moral as often as possible and prided myself on it. And then, how dare they put something like this? Make direct amends, make up to all the people that I have conned and stolen and cheated and thieved and whatever. When I tell you I couldn't even remember them all and shit pops up to this day, I'm telling you the truth. So anyway, I go through it and I really, really, really give it a good try and really get some work done and do 99.9% of those amends and put the list together. And I'm doing a morning meditation in the morning. I'm doing an inventory at night. I'm trying to pray for God's will. I don't even know what God is. I'm not even sure. But I know what he isn't. And they'd say it ain't, you know, selfish and self-centeredness. And I know the less of me I get involved, the more of whatever else in that world out there in the universe. Because one thing, even though through my whole story and my entire life, never not one time did I not know what was right or wrong. And I've done a lot of wrong stuff. And every time I did wrong, I knew it was wrong. There was never any point in my life where I was confused that this is moral and this is wrong and this is right. I knew. I would just stop that little whisper of a voice completely out and go right full steam, 100 miles, at it. So anyway, the thing starts working. And I am on fire. I am on fire with this thing, and I don't care. I don't care. I did not care. And magical things started happening, guys. Things I could not explain. I remember sitting on the stoop with the birds chirping. All I wanted was that house and the car and the girl and to be normal and to have a job and a little income and live happily ever after. When they say life beyond your wildest dreams, guys, I did that. Like, it is beyond my wildest dreams. And I go hard and I'm going real good about 5 years or so. And we start getting some real money. Then we start getting a promotion. Start working a little bit too much. Car, all that. Everything's upgraded and escalated to the next level. All that talk about this and that becomes a little less important, just slowly, ever so slowly. This is one of my little sayings, guys. You can use it if you want. If temptation didn't look like a good idea, nobody would ever do it. And slowly but surely, God and the spirituality of this program, and this program itself, slowly gets inched out for what? Money, property, and prestige. Love the big book. I will quote the heck out of it. I try my best to. I try to live it, breathe it, the whole nine, because I'm going to get off track more often than not. So anyway, that slowly gets inched out for money, property, prestige, titles, things of that nature. And one day, after everything I just told you, come on, man, I've been working a real program. I got this. One light beer from Miller isn't going to affect big old grizzly me, is it? Now, mind you, I'm working at a place making more money than I ever could imagine. Ever imagine. And I got all the boxes checked off. And all my peers and my boss and all the other people in my immediate circle that I'm overworking at and I'm overachieving at and I'm out of whack and I'm out of harmony with, right? I'm not working with any dudes. My meeting attendance is slim to none, but I want to reiterate, my working with other men and my living the spiritual principles and my spirituality is below zero. And then one day, ever so insidiously, a beer doesn't look like a bad idea. And I have one. And nothing happened. I was like, woohoo, wait a minute. And the progression tore me out of my frame quicker and faster and stronger than ever. To a day I'll never forget. Never forget it. Just like the day when I said I was going to decide where the puddle of Chris was going to be on that floor. I woke up and all I had to do, and at the time, just to give you an idea of the progression, I was always a drinker. My drinking had become so progressively worse. I was waking up at like, I'm not kidding, guys. I'd work 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week most times, sometimes 14-hour days. I'd wake up at 3:30 in the morning and get completely torn out of my frame drunk. Say I would be going back to sleep. I was literally passing out to wake up and do it again before I got dressed to go to work. Driving drunk was not even an option. I didn't care all the time. It was like a game to me. It was like a video game. Like, there was no regard. And then I would continue to drink all throughout the day. Right? I'd get to work completely torn up. I might make it to lunch and then go to lunch drinking. I'd come back. You know, I'm telling you, where I worked, every single person from the owner, the boss, the janitors, the secretaries, the managers, everybody would meet in this one spot and get it on. Like normal people may have. But I just could never, and it was everywhere and I was all in. And I had given it all back. And it lasted for a hot minute. And then the pain and the suffering was worse. The pain and the suffering was worse in a business suit, believe it or not, making a ton of money and living the life that I thought I wanted, than it was in prison or any of those other times previously in my life. And I never forget waking up. All I had to do was just wake up, get dressed, and go to work, and then I could fumble through, and I could always make it through a day, and I had enough support, and I wasn't bad at what I did, even drunk, like it was silly. I just couldn't get up and get in the car and get dressed. And the poor hostage that I was with at that point in my life was like, "What are you doing? Get up, go to work." And I was like, "I can't." I'm like, "Why? What's the matter?" I said, "My soul hurts." And I meant it. Like I had once again torn myself out of my own frame. Like my soul was destroyed. I couldn't do it no more. No money, no property, no prestige. Nothing could fill the void. I couldn't do it. I couldn't drink another drink. I couldn't do another nothing. I couldn't do it. And I had to literally be separated. I couldn't even be separated. Like, I mean, I was on a tangent. So anyway, I go into Living Grin. And a couple days, I get cleared up. You know, I get physically separated from alcohol. And I know this big book thing works. I know a little bit about it. Not that I had participated in it for quite some time. And I get right back into it. In the rehab, I'm running around like Bill Wilson. I'm not kidding. Trying to get other dudes involved in the book. Doing this morning meditation, studying, you know, four steps, the whole nine yards. Now, some of them are not having it at all, but a couple did. And, you know, I benefited from it, and I got some time, you know, to slow down and get off the roller coaster of life that I had put together and made a nightmare. And I get back into the book. I do the work myself. I get in a couple other guys involved. And I watched dudes come in and out. And the month I was there, it was a couple people that would be like in and out two or three times. And people would be dying. And it says in the book about being on the firing lines and being in sword places. And I could just see it a little clearer from that perspective. And I went on, did my step work again, got squared up, got involved in some spirituality. Got back involved with the same basic things that I was doing before. And another thing that I'm not big on, like with the directions and stuff that we had mentioned earlier, discipline's not a big thing of mine. And from what I read, like as alcoholics, we don't have a lot of propensity for that. Vigilance is another thing. And I don't want to act fancy. Like these are the words that I was telling you about. I was looking through the dictionary with my buddy in that same basement I was going to commit suicide in. And I just go at it from a different angle. And I try to be about it a little bit because, like I had mentioned, like I always know enough to talk a little bit about this and that. Like, and I can talk a good game. There's not many people who can out-talk me. But this thing requires action, action, and more action. And I'm not big on action. I'm lazy as hell. I want to do it once and never have to do it again. And this program, when they say 24 hours a day, the way I see that and read it and study it and I've had experience with it is, what have I done today with this? What have I done today? And when I say, what have I done, I don't mean what have I done for me, to help me, by me. But what have I done? What of these instructions have I done? Now, real life experience. Today I woke up at 5:30. I met a dude at Hartsville. We did step work till about 7:15, went to a meeting at 7:30, had another dude scheduled to meet me there, and then, you know, we got a little bit jammed up, and we got together, and we hung out, and we read a little bit of the book and talked, because it was the first time that we met, and, you know, we did that. So that's what I did today, and then I'm scheduled to come here tonight. At that same meeting, I met a guy who just got out of some rehab in Legacy, an older gentleman, who I asked. I said, "Hey, bud, you want to get into this book and do these steps for real?" On his way out, and he's like, "Yeah, sure." I'm like, "All right, can you get up early?" "Yeah, I'm meeting him there tomorrow at 6 a.m. Now, I can choose to say I don't have time, or I can't get around to it, or this and that, because once again, as I mentioned, nobody can out-talk me, or you're not going to be able to, you know, flim-flam me too easily. And I can come up with excuses with the best of them. But I also know that doing that, the pain and the suffering that comes with it, and I know it's not going to last because I've done it before. I've imploded my life viciously several times, and it never gets better. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead or in jail. I try to live every day as incredibly as I possibly can. And sometimes I do pretty good at it, you know? So, you know, it's about what am I doing today? Not what am I talking about? Because I want to be one of those guys. I really mean this when I say this. I want to be one of those guys that can just not drink and go to meetings. I can't. I am an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. My only hope is how much of this spiritual solution am I going to make my daily life? And it ain't cool. And it's not popular. But it's the only thing that works for a guy like me. Because I will be in a bad way before I know it. But I usually don't think so. It starts one compromise at a time. Whenever I do these things, I come out elated, happy, feeling good like I can't explain. You want to talk about a life beyond your wildest dreams? I would challenge any one of you to literally get in this book with somebody, myself if you really, really want to. I wouldn't advise it. I'm a little bit much for the average human being. But find somebody and go through this thing with a fine-tooth comb and really, really, really do it and live it for not long. 60 days, 90 days, for real, really do it. And if it doesn't work, we'll just call it an experiment. Go back to doing whatever you're going to do, however you're going to do it. But if you're a true alcoholic and of the hopeless variety, like you may or may not be, but I know that I am, you can feel it in your gut right now that the BS is slipping away and you can't hang on too much longer because you can't trick yourself, but only for a minute or two. I've never been able to lie to myself, and I'm the biggest liar I've ever known. I like to think one of the best, if there is such a thing. But I've never, ever been able to lie to myself. And this thing, I'll be sure to tell you, I've never done anything in my life. There's no big accolades or awards. The only thing I've ever done in these 12 steps and helped other people do it, and it's all I really, really will ever need. I have everything I could possibly need. I still think I might need a yacht with a helicopter and some gold bars and some big booty hoes, but I don't. I really don't. I have more money than I've ever had. I've had more property than I've ever had. I have more joy and happiness and all those other things. And I've learned the very unfortunate lesson that human things cannot fill this spiritual void. And the sooner that I embark on that life, day in and day out, as often as I possibly can, the better off I'll be. And it took me decades to get there. However, today I'm there, and I'm doing it. Action, action, and more action. Do I want to bake this cake? I do. But guys like me don't want to get the ingredients and don't want to follow the procedure. All I got to do is open this book that the founders of this program, just like me and you, they wrote down so we would never get off track. We would always know what to do and how to do it. But yet, I'll get together with a bunch of jive turkeys who will all pat each other on the back and count how many meetings we've been to. Because all I really need, I don't need the ABCs like they say in the book. Because I'll latch on to a human power. The ABCs that I want to be about are the apartments, broad, a car. I want to be about those things. But it don't work for me. I have to realize the solution is simple and the solution is spiritual. Where am I getting my information? What instructions am I following? What actions am I doing on a daily basis? Who am I spiritually accountable to? See, because another thing that I never knew is that in Alcoholics Anonymous, we are not anonymous to each other. Once again, I can only get so far in here. But I got some men in my life and some people in my life who can look at me from across the room and say, dude, what are you up to? Something's going on. And they can dig in on me with love and compassion, because I'm not real big on that either until my life's on the line. Anyway, nothing's ever worked for me in my entire life, and I've tried quite a few things. I've never done anything in my life but these steps and this book, and that's all I've ever needed with a God and a higher power of my understanding. And once again, I'd like to extend that challenge to anyone in this room. I'll be here for a little bit afterwards. If you'd like to get involved in that, once again, as I mentioned earlier, I can talk about this all day and night, but I'm also willing, if anybody is willing to accept the challenge, to take you by your hand through this book, page by page, line by line, and reenact the same experience, or better, that I've experienced and that a gentleman did with me. My name's Chris. Thanks for letting me share.